Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. As we continue in His Word, we continue to be set free. We have a very interesting series here now as we move ahead with Raylene Bear. Raylene, good to have you on the program.
I'm glad to be back.
Raylene, your background is very interesting. You are even a former tribal dancer with the Osage tribe and even some other tribes. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
And Raylene, you being a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, as you've continued in the Word, and we know as always the Word continues to set us free, that's exactly what you've been seeing. And as you've developed in the truth, you've learned some things that you feel a real burden to share concerning the Indian people.
Yeah, I do. I walked, I guess, about 23 years. I danced and I just did nothing, but I just loved being around Indians. And really, I didn't want anything more in life than that, than just to grow up and live my life in, you know, around the Indian people and just eat, drink, and be merry with, you know. And I didn't need anything else. I didn't need any other, you know, I didn't need any other people in my life but just the Indians. And so now I do have a message from the Lord that He's given me as He set me free.
And that, of course, is we all hear testimonies, and I'm sure there's a certain number of people with Indian backgrounds that are even listening to this program. When was it in your life that you got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet at some point in your life you discovered there was some bondage yet there?
I asked the Lord one day if I had any idolatry in my life, because I didn't feel I had. I thought I had come a long way, you know, and I had, but He showed me that it was my background. It was my traditions. It was worship. It was things that I worshipped instead of Him, and I put above Him.
Well, we see, of course, as we minister in deliverance, some of the door openers for demonic activity have to do with idolatry, have to do with witchcraft, and even doctrines and traditions. And as we've been visiting here, you were sharing with me, it seems that certainly from what you see, a good number of the Indian people, as they're caught up in their customs, they may be operating under that 1 Timothy 4:1, which has to do with doctrines of demons and in even witchcraft to a degree. We know that witchcraft is an abomination to God, according to Deuteronomy 18:10. And then we know idolatry is, that we're to have no other gods besides Him. He's a very jealous God. So any of those can put a person in bondage. And that's where you are coming from and what you want to share to help the people out there, either that may still be under the bondages of this or may have occasion in deliverance to minister to people of Indian descent.
Well, many of them, if they, especially if they can't seem to grow any further with the Lord, and they can, or their children are going into the things that maybe they came from, then you still have some things there. And there's women and men who have come in, they're born again, they're spirit-filled, but they've never given up and they've never renounced the traditions of their forefathers, things that I know we've been taught them all our life. We've loved them. And, you know, we've always respected these things. We've respected the old ways. Well, it's time now that we begin to turn loose and turn our back on respecting the old ways, and we come to fear the Lord and respect His ways.
You know, and I might point out, Raylene, it isn't just the Indian people that are under this. People of all backgrounds have the same problem. I happen to have a Scotch-Irish background, but, you know, I've had to repent of the sins of my forefathers, and I don't know what all they've been. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. There's likely to be some of this kind of activity and witchcraft and generations back and idolatry and so on that can allow the sins to flow down through us and curses and so forth. So it isn't that we're picking on the Indian people by any means. We all want to be free. We're all coming from someplace.
Yeah, I had to. You know, I just I just, with my whole heart, I ask God to show me, because I wouldn't receive it from anybody but Him. I mean, He had to show me in His Word, because I wouldn't let anybody else tell me. That's how strong they were in me. And I know that there's that all the people, you know, that the Indians out there, probably 90% of them feel that way, that they if it would have to be God, show them in the Word, you know, and show them the truth, because that truth will set them free.
And you just happen to be able to do that.
I do have some truth that God showed me. He showed me so much that, you know, we don't have all the time to show, but He did give me some scripture, and He said in 2 Kings 17, He said, "And they set up images in groves in every high hill and under every green tree, and there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, You shall not do this." And on down then it says, "Notwithstanding they would not hear the voice of the Lord, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected His statutes and His covenant that He had made with their fathers." And many of the Christian Indians today, we get born again, we get Spirit-filled, and we, you know, we just seek hard after God, and then we come to a place where we can't go any further because we have sin in our life. And these sins are worshiping the gods of our forefathers. And some of those gods and some of those sins and some of those spirits that are in our lives and in our spiritual houses are pride. Pride is a stronghold. And because we think as Indians that that's all we have is our pride. But that's not true, because a pride is an abomination to God, and God said pride will go before the fall. And so our lives, I'm asking you now, does your life rest in your pride of your culture and your heritage, or in the pride of your family background? Does it rest in your tribal heritage? Is your life built up on that? Is your family's life built up on that? These things need to be torn down and broken off and cast out of your family, and then your children's lives and their children, your spiritual houses will be clean. And we've worshipped our family heritage, and we've not come out from among these things and turned loose of them, and even renounced them. I've had to renounce them. You know, it was kind of a slow process. First, God showed me the truth, and then it came to a place where I had to say, "Okay, God, you know, I fear You more than I fear man, or what they're going to say." You know.
Now, Raylene, as we see in all of deliverance, as we minister on the front lines, there is a two-step process. One is renouncing. If you've been involved in witchcraft, if you've been involved in idolatry, or traditions and doctrines of man or devils, if you've been involved in that, step one is to repent of that, to turn away from that. Now there's a step two that most people, well, they don't do. More than likely, there is a spirit sitting there that goes along with each of these categories, a spirit of witchcraft. It's kind of like the mortgage business here. Legally, we foreclose in the mortgage field, and yet the person may or may not leave the property. We may have to, quote, cast them out. And that's the same thing we have here. We cancel the legal right for the entity to be there, and then we have to cast them out in many cases. So I would recommend to the people and the Indian people here that not only do you repent, but then come against and command the spirit of idolatry to go, and the spirit of witchcraft to go, and the spirit of traditions to go, and any others as you may be able to determine them.
Oh, and, you know, one more thing that the Lord showed me was that Josiah, the King Josiah, he went in and he tore down every grove. He tore down every high place of his forefathers, everywhere where they worshipped anything but God. And, you know, another thing that we give into is fear. We go home and we bow down to the fears and superstitions, and we agree with them when we shouldn't agree, because the Word of God says that He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind.
Yes. That's our Jesus continuing to set the captives free. Raylene Baer, thank you for sharing. We're coming to you today with a very interesting series. Since here we are living in Oklahoma, we have many people around us of Indian descent. And as we minister in deliverance, we find there are many Indian spirits out there, even sometimes in people that are not even aware of having any Indian background. But praise God, the blood of Jesus still prevails. We're still overcomers. All we need to do is to apply the power to get hold of these things and cast them out. Jesus told us, as believers, we're to cast out demons. And as we do it, we see lives change. We see people that had things going on in their lives or thought that it was their nature, it was their characteristics, or just the way they were. What good news it is to find out that these never were them, but they're actual spirits that can be cast out. That's why Jesus told every believer to do it. I understand that now. I didn't a few years ago, but I'm getting to understand it real well now. As we see hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of people now set free by ministering in this area of the gospel that so often is overlooked. Well, here on the program again, I'm excited to have Raylene Baer. Raylene, good to have you.
It's nice to be here again.
Raylene, you're a past tribal dancer with the Osage tribe and even a couple of other tribes, and you've been sharing with me how Jesus set you free. Well, let's continue in this direction.
Okay. We were talking about how I would go home, and I'd be full of the Word and full of the Spirit and ready to go home and ready to minister and, you know, talk to my family or whoever needed prayer or anything. And I'd go home and I'd come underneath the spirit that was still there that had never been cast out, had never been, you know, touched. It was just, it had been there for generations and generations.
What spirit would that be, Raylene?
Well, it'd be witchcraft and just the spirits of idolatry, witchcraft. And the spirits that are mostly there are warfare spirits, God showed me, because they have the war dances so strong at home.
Now you had repented, you had learned at this point to repent of this kind of thing, is that correct?
Yes, I had repented. I had said, God, I forsake these things. But every time I would go home and enter in under them, because I had never really truly severed those cords, you know, they had to be severed in the spirit realm, just, you know, and broken off and denounced and renounced. Because I'd never done that, I would immediately enter in and begin to do the things that I didn't want to. Or, you know, I would enter in under the fear. And the Word of God would immediately be stolen out of my heart. And the spirit would be quenched or grieved or just the warfare. And it would be, you know, it would overwhelm me. And I would usually go home oppressed. And it would take me, you know, a week or so to pray in the spirit and get built back up until I finally learned what was going on.
Well, did you finally find there were still, even though you'd repented, which canceled the legal right, but you had never actually cast the spirits out?
We began casting them out, but actually, if you have a family who's just born again, or you've got to start from scratch, you've got to begin cleaning your spiritual house out. There needs to be a spiritual cleansing, and wherever you start, the Holy Spirit is there to reveal everything, manifest everything that's in our way. He's going to destroy our enemies before us. He'll go before us, behind us, beside us. No matter the persecution, God's Spirit will raise up a standard against all the enemy. And He did, and He revealed to me things all along, and we would cast them out. And
why don't you share one or two of those experiences?
Well, for one thing, I would go home and there was a real strong spirit of warfare. I just can't. Well, the Osage tribe, their name, they called themselves Wajaji, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means warfare. It means warfare spirits, and so, you know, that right there shows you that there's that there. They have the war dances, and God showed me that it stirs up the spirits of envy and strife. And it keeps them in the hearts of the people. And you can't have godly wisdom or godly truth, because James 3 says that where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work, and, you know, the doctrines of devils, and the spirit of truth can't reign. And so many of the Christians, Christian Indians, are not finding the victory that they need.
Raylene, how did you finally deal with this warring type spirit? And did you have someone pray with you, or did you come against it yourself, or what?
Yeah, there's almost everywhere I'd go for a while there, it was getting to, people would take authority over it with me or for me. And I have another friend who's a deliverance minister, and she prayed for me. She's an intercessor too, and she has really helped me and pulled down strongholds too in my family. And usually she was there for me when I would come home oppressed. I would have a prayer partner to pray.
Could you tell when this one left then?
Yeah, I could tell. And, you know, I could tell in my reading, because I wasn't able to read very long because of the witchcraft that was on me. I couldn't read. I would fall asleep. I'd be spiritually sleepy, spiritually dull. I couldn't understand. And I did. I said, God, what is it? I don't feel like my prayers. There was something that was like blocking my prayers. Now, I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure God heard them, but there was something that was blocking me from entering in into a higher place in Christ. And that's really what it was. And that's when God showed me the witchcraft. And so that immediately, that went. And
you know, Raylene, people that are, have messed with witchcraft, and not just Indian people, but anyone, there's a tendency, once you have felt and seen the powers of witchcraft work, there seems to be a tendency a lot of times for people to still want to keep one foot in it. You know, they want to keep a foot on each side of the fence. Mm-hmm. And God, it's an abomination to God. He'll have us have no part in the dealings of witchcraft. And I think that's something that needs to be focused on. If you have powers in witchcraft and have developed this because of your Indian background or whatever, when you repent of it, that you need to do just what that says. You turn away from it. You close the door on it. You follow Jesus 100%. Until you do, that's a legal right for the demons to stay. You cannot cast the demons out. You might for a day or two, but they're going to come right back. You cannot get away from your bondage and from your torment and harassment until you decide to follow Jesus 100%.
Mm-hmm. And not fear their gods. Not fear the gods of our forefathers. Not fear the gods that are the gods that they serve, that the people that, you know, that people around you serve, the people in your background, your family. If it has to be your family that's the stumbling block, and it's the gods that we served, we're not to fear them. God said not to fear them. He said that He would destroy our enemies before us if we would not fear their gods and not bow down to them. Because in the spirit realm, that's how He sees us doing it. That's how He showed me, is that we bow down to their spirit. We bow down to fear. We bow down to curses. We don't speak the truth. We don't let the truth reign in us. Like I said, when I would go home, I would come underneath that. I would be speaking the fears. I would come under this, just lack of joy. You know, the people who don't have God, they don't have that joy or peace. And I entered in under that.
Some of the Indian people, Raylene, they probably, not even realizing it perhaps, are worshiping old Indian gods and don't really know what they're doing. You think that's true? I mean, they don't realize it's an abomination to God Almighty.
Mm-hmm. When we grow up, the elders usually tell us, they say, you know, the Indian way is a hard way. This is a hard way of life. And they say, you know, we're a pitiful people. Okay, now just think about it. Those two sentences I told you just now. We're pitiful. Well, the Word of God does not say that we are pitiful. No, so that's one thing. And I bowed down to that for a long time. You know, I would go ahead and think in myself that I am pitiful. I'm Indian. But I do have pride. Well, the Word of God says we'll not have pride. It's an abomination. The Indian way is the hard way of life, we're told. But the Word of God says that Jesus is the way, and that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We don't have to live poor. We don't have to be pitiful. And we don't have to walk in the hard way. We can walk with Jesus.
Raylene Bear of the Osage Tribe, thank you for sharing on how Jesus is setting the Indians free. In Deuteronomy 18:10-13, we read, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." What we find is that people are still perishing for lack of knowledge, that the Indian people, even, having been caught up in what they have not realized is just plain witchcraft. For through the years, Satan has taken full advantage and has instilled witchcraft techniques within the Indian people in many, many ways. Raylene Bear here of the Osage tribe is here to share with us today on how Jesus has set her free and how she has a burden to share her ministry with Indian people out there to bring them to Jesus and the fullness of the gospel.
Thank you, Everett. Some time ago, it was just a little bit before God called me and I was saved, I had gone to a medicine man, and I had gone to get witchcraft that had been put on me taken off, which that's the only way I knew to go. The only place I knew to go. I didn't go to God. I went to a medicine man. And he doctored me. That's the way the Indians call it. They doctor. He doctored me. And when he did, I felt something come in my body. And so instead of getting set free from the other witchcraft, I entered into more darkness.
Of course, what we see, Raylene, that's no different than going to someone to have your palm read, to having them foresee the future and fortune-telling. It's really no different than even going to an Ouija board. You're working with the same source, the darkness of the world.
That's right. And, you know, they don't have the Spirit of God. And when I went to him, he said, "Now this is of God because of this. Now this is of God because this is good. You're getting set free." And, you know, not having any word in me, I didn't know any better. And so I yielded myself, and from then on I was plagued by a demon.
Well, of course, he was correct. It was of God, the God of this world.
That's right. Yeah. I could barely make it home. I fell asleep, like almost fell asleep at the wheel. And from then on, I had this demonic spirit that would attack me, and I just couldn't hardly stay awake. A false peace.
How would it attack you, Raylene?
I would just like go into this deep sleep. I couldn't even hardly drive, and that wasn't me, you know. I couldn't hardly drive. And when I finally did get home, I fell asleep on the bed. I couldn't even, my legs didn't even get on the bed. I just barely made it to the bed. I fell on the bed, and I was out. And I saw this, like, omen dog. It attacked me. And it just so happened my roommate came in just in time and, you know, woke me up. She could hear me screaming. And from then on, every night, I would have this thing attack me one way or another. It would touch me, and I was unable to speak or move in my sleep, but yet I was aware of it. And so just like a week or so after that, I got saved. And another week after that, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'd gone to a Bible study, and a lady was ministering. A real dear Christian woman was teaching in Norman. And she had a word from the Lord. And she said, "I don't know who this is for, but I'll speak it." And she said, "There's a spellbinder in this room." And this was the Spirit of the Lord speaking. "There's a spellbinder in this room, and it's me." And God, that word went into me, and I knew that God was powerful than any powerful of the devil, any power of any medicine man, any people who use witchcraft or medicine, that God could break that power in Jesus' name. And he did. And the fear just, I mean, it left me immediately. I burned the medicine that he gave me. Before that, I was afraid to even touch it. Every time I would try to burn it and get rid of it, it would tell me that I was going to be in a car wreck and that I would be maimed. And, you know, and I know there's a lot of people out there who have, you know, who are walking with one foot in it and one foot out of it. And they, you know, they don't quite know the truth, but it's, you know, the truth will set them free, that Jesus Christ is greater and more powerful than anything that Satan can bring against us.
Well, you hit on the point that are walking in it. They're seeking God. They're seeking our Father, God Almighty. They're seeking Jesus, but they're also trying to keep one foot on the other side of the fence to involve themselves with the powers that they have felt through the years that they've been taught, and some of the traditions and the gods of the tribal gods of the past. Well, the Word tells us that these things are an abomination, that we're to follow Jesus, that we're not to have any idolatry or any other gods. We are to follow the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And until you make the decision to come to Jesus 100% and repent and turn away from that activity, you cannot keep one foot on the other side of the fence and still have freedom, for it is an open door, and you are inviting demonic activity within your life to mess with any of those powers, to seek out any satanic word or future telling or fortune telling or whatever. That's the door's wide open, and you'll not be free. I think that's one of the greatest things to get across to the people here, that they cannot dwell in witchcraft and still stay in God's camp. It's either one or the other. You have to decide, who are you going to follow?
At the powwows, this occultic traffic is going on all the time. And in the Native American church, I regret to say, but I'm going to say the truth, is that it goes on there. It goes on there all the time. That people are using the powers of witchcraft against each other, and that even young children, they know how to use love medicine and witchcraft on each other. And that's a serious thing. And it's coming on people, and, you know, it's hurting the ones that they're doing it to, and it's coming back on the ones who are doing it.
You know, I think a good point here also is that Satan doesn't give you those powers just for fun. They're, you know, they all come, all the demons, all the demonic activity, it's there to kill and destroy and to steal ultimately. He may lead you in with some fun and games, some excitement, some powers, but the ultimate conclusion is that you'll die.
And another thing, if there's anyone out there who's been with somebody who was Indian, or you're trying to get over somebody and you can't, and you have this pining, or you have this something that draws you to them and you can't help yourself, then chances are you have that witchcraft on you, because that's how God set me free from that. And one of the manifestations of it was a seasonal pining for them and not being able to overcome it.
What do you mean pining?
I mean your heart would just, you would just, no matter if you didn't love that person, they didn't treat you right, they were, you know, they might have beat you, harmed you, didn't really love you themselves, but there was something in you that could not be set free from them, you know, and that soul tie has to be broken.
Yes, we see that in all areas of activity, where we have to break ungodly soul ties, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, with people. And certainly with any witchcraft activity, that needs to be done. And quite often there is a control spirit of that person operating as a demon, tormenting your life.
That's right. But Jesus Christ can set you free. He set me free. And I had to, you know, I broke those ties. I renounced those things. And I thank God for setting me free for all those things. He's more powerful. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world.
For the blood of Jesus is sufficient for all things. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Raylene Bear of the Osage Tribe, thank you for sharing with us some more on how Jesus is setting the Indian people free. I'd like to welcome to the program Raylene Bear again. Raylene, good to have you.
Hi, Everett. I'm glad to be here.
Raylene has a background as a tribal dancer, well, actually with several tribes. But let's focus. Raylene is here to share today on how she has seen, and certainly all of us have seen, many groups that have a form of godliness. We read in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with various lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And certainly we've seen many people not coming to the knowledge of the truth. Well, that's why we're here today, is to put the truth out. Raylene, share with us with your testimony and what you're seeing in this area.
Okay, thank you, Everett. Well, when I was a lot younger, I was involved, or I sought after, as a way to find God and to worship Him, because most of us have that desire to serve God. And I went to the Peyote Church to try to find God, and this is what I saw.
Now, a lot of people out there that are not, they don't have Indian backgrounds, they probably heard of Peyote, but they're probably amazed to find out it is actually called a religion.
It's another name for it is the Native American Church. Mm. And in it, they have a Peyote button. And it's special, and they usually pray over it. And it is, some of them are handed down, these, and they call them chief peyotes. And they usually have them in teepees, although they have them in homes and in roundhouses. And there's different ways you can have a peyote meeting, and it's at night. Starts at dusk. And in the way you worship God, the way you pray in this church, is you speak to the chief peyote. And the chief peyote takes the fire and the smoke. You tell the peyote what you want and pour out your heart. Tell your needs, you know, just whatever you want, at that time. Even, you know, if it's not according to God's will, you can ask for it. And that peyote and the smoke will take your prayers, supposedly, into heaven and to God or the Great Spirit or the Spirit. And, you know, so many of us were ignorant at that time. You know, we don't know what spirit we're worshiping, what kind of spirit we're talking to. You know, Jesus' name was mentioned here and there. But the salvation of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the price that Jesus paid for us to be set free from sin, to be set free from bondage of alcohol, to be set free from poverty, to meet our needs, we're never taught that. We're never taught about the price that Jesus paid to set us free. We don't know that there's salvation through no other name, through no other person in heaven or in earth, but through Jesus Christ. That was the Son that God sent to us. The shedding of His blood is the only way into heaven. And we're not, you know, it's not taught that way. It's according to old ways. It's customs. It's heritage. It's traditions. It's tribe, what tribe you're from. Those things are honored above the Word of God, above His own Son.
It's easy to see how the darkness of the world can take advantage of that. If one is familiar with witchcraft, it's parallels. The same things that we hear ex-witches tell about and that are familiar with their rituals, it's the same kind of thing that opens the door. And so here you are having a form of godliness but denying the truth thereof, denying the blood of Jesus in essence. And, you know, it's kind of like in the, who wrote the Last Great Planet Earth?
Hal Lindsey
and his, I believe it's his sister-in-law.
Joanna Michelson
in her book, and The Beautiful Side of Evil. She told about how she was involved with a group that had a form of godliness, and they even talked about Jesus some. But it wasn't our Jesus. It wasn't Jesus of Nazareth who arose on the third day. It wasn't that Jesus. That's how tricky the other side is. And many, many people, as she was, have been led astray until they get hold of the truth. But that opens the door for them to be tormented, to have all types of darkness activities going on in their lives, and torment and harassment by demonic beings. And until you close the door and turn away from this power, turn away from this, as the Word says, you will continue to be tormented. You need a deliverance. You need to come to Jesus. You need to cast these suspect spirits of witchcraft out and traditions, and probably perhaps even a spirit of peyote.
Yes, and we need to set our will in agreement with God and with His Word. You know, He wants to set us free. God's heart is to see His people be free and wish that none should perish. But my people are perishing for lack of knowledge because they want to worship God, but they want to do it the way we ourselves want to do it. I did that. I wanted to worship God the way I wanted to think of Him the way I wanted to think of Him. Well, now I don't think God would do that. Well, now I don't think God would say that. But I never got in the Word to find out what He did say. And when He did, it was wonderful being set free by the truth. And another thing there's a strong spirit of fear over people. They don't know God, and so what they don't know, they're afraid of. And they keep going curses and superstitions, and thinking that this is going to happen to us or that is going to happen to us, keeping those things alive, being afraid of and needing power from some place, you know, to protect us. But it's not the power of God. You know, the blood of Jesus will protect us. You know, the Word of God says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. For our righteousness is of the Lord. And my righteousness is the blood of Jesus that covers me. And there's no power that can come against that.
Well, in essence, the people that follow this form of religion, they're putting themselves under the curse, are they not?
They're putting themselves under the curse because they're worshiping what they don't know. They're worshiping a false religion, and they never come to the full knowledge of who God is, what kind of price He's paid. Many of them are going to hell right now because they don't know Jesus. They haven't accepted what He's done for them, and you know that I hurt for them because they don't know, and yet they're told that they've got to worship according to the Indian way. And that's not true. God is, He's the God of all flesh.
Amen. Well, and of course, as we've seen, everyone is under the curse until they come to Jesus, until they proclaim the blood of Jesus. You're under the curse of the law. But Galatians 3:13, where Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us at the tree or at the cross. And praise God, once we learn that and learn that we can appropriate that power, that we now can move in the power by the blood, we can cancel out these curses, we can cancel out this demonic activity and cast them out. Two steps again, terminating the curses, terminating the legal right for the demon to be there, and repenting of that activity and false religions and so on, and then commanding the associated spirits to go. A two-step process we've learned in deliverance that's necessary. Well, Raylene, as Jesus has continued to set you free, you seem to have quite a burden for the Indian people. You see the bondage that so many of them are in. And are you continuing now in deliverance yourself?
Yes, I'm still. God has kind of brought me into that area. And my husband also, he's called us into an area of deliverance and has anointed our lives and given us His own power that works within us. His own spirit. You know, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to set the captives free, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And I've seen them in the Spirit, and they are bruised, and they're in prison houses. I've seen them in the Spirit in prison houses. And, you know, they don't even know it, but God, Jesus Christ can set them free.
And that's, of course, we have Luke 4:18 that you were quoting, even on our stationery at Deliverance Ministries. Yes, we have that same burden for all people. Raylene Bear, a former tribal dancer in several tribes, thank you for being on the program and sharing on how Jesus is setting the American Indians free.